It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes this week is brought to you by the Wilbur. Jim Ross presents his Under the Black Hat book tour coming to the Wilbur on April 16th. For tickets and information, visit thewilbur.com. During this podcast, we'll give you an opportunity on how you can win two tickets for this live show. Mike Riley, Elimination Chamber has wrapped up. A lot of news to come out of it. I want to lead with what was the main event. It is Shayna Baszler wins the Elimination Chamber. She basically blew doors on all the other women in the match. She defeated Asuka, Natalya, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan. I think that they did a lot here to help kind of their misfire on Monday Night Raw last week, which was putting Shayna Baszler in the ring with Kairi Sane, which we know is a good match, but not the performance that we were looking for in introducing Shayna Baszler to the Monday Night Raw audience. This, I think, tonight at Elimination Chamber showed how dominant Shayna Baszler can be and should be. I think they made up for their mistake on Monday Night Raw in Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. Mike, your thoughts?
Yep. To Monday Night Raw, and also to what I've said before in the last few weeks, I think the mistake they fell on with the Royal Rumble, where Shayna Baszler, I thought, should have won. So with her not winning at the Royal Rumble, and you know, you have that storyline of Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, which is really cool, but it just shows the pure dominance here that she did do the damage in the Rumble. They didn't give her the win, but she did what she had to do here at the Elimination Chamber. And again, to what WWE has done, elevating its superstars and now mixing and matching them from NXT and putting them all in this main event spotlight. That is what they are doing here with Shayna Baszler. And she is dominant. Absolutely a monster. I was thinking about future potential storylines with her during this match after Becky Lynch. You're probably going to see down the line Shayna versus Charlotte, Queen's Army versus the Queen herself. Maybe even throw in something with Rhea Ripley again. I know they had their feud in NXT, but they can do it again. She has so much potential here. Absolute dominance, Shayna Baszler. But this was the whole story of that pay-per-view to tell how powerful she is and how important she is for this WrestleMania card.
But you realize in her not winning the Rumble, which was a Vince McMahon call, Charlotte Flair winning the Rumble was a Vince McMahon call. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the point. Like, I think Charlotte should have won, but she didn't need it. But it probably would have done Baszler more good to have won that and be dominant. I believe Baszler eliminated 8 women coming in from the number 30 slot, if memory serves. In that span of, say, 3 minutes where she was in there, 8 eliminations, in the span here in Elimination Chamber, she was probably in the ring 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
So she has dominated just by the numbers. 8-6 is 14. 14 women in a span of 12 minutes.
It's pretty incredible.
And she goes 20 minutes with Kairi Sane?
Right.
Right? Like right. There's a flaw there. There's a flaw there. And Shayna's first match on Raw probably shouldn't have been last week in context. So I'm being critical of how Vince McMahon, Paul Heyman, whoever wrote last week, used Shayna Baszler, because she shouldn't have been used that way. This was good booking of Shayna Baszler. She goes into the cage. She dominates. She wins. She is now a legitimate threat for Becky Lynch, who was watching the whole thing on a monitor in the back.
Absolutely. And Shayna Baszler might win this. She may be the new champion at WrestleMania, where Becky won it last year, holding on to the title for a year. I'd put my money on Shayna Baszler today if I were a betting man. I would.
So how do I want to word this?
Yeah.
See, I think Shayna should win too.
Yeah, I think she's going to.
But based on, so I don't know if she's going to win. If you ask me to make a prediction now, I would say that Becky retains.
Okay. It's right? So weird. Yeah.
And,
okay.
And you know, we'll do our WrestleMania pick show soon enough, and we'll add Joe Murray, and we'll do the gambling thing, and we'll have tons of downloads because Joe Murray equals money. But if Becky wins at WrestleMania, then where does she go? Right? Well, so you're in a position where you need Shayna Baszler to be a legitimate threat for Becky Lynch. But if Vince McMahon doesn't believe in Shayna Baszler, which he didn't at the Rumble.
No.
It was a match against Kairi Sane that I question, and he did tonight.
Yep.
So who would, and the crowd, the Philadelphia crowd thankfully booed Shayna Baszler winning. Right. That's the desired reaction, as opposed to on Raw, they just sat on their hands for the match.
They had no idea. Yeah.
So unless Becky is Hogan and it's just Becky's going to hold the title until Ronda comes back, which, by the way, that's not a terrible idea. But 2 years might be a long time if Ronda does come back for WrestleMania in Los Angeles. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Right. Yeah. In the short term. Is Becky going to retain over Shayna Baszler? I would say that Becky will retain on Shayna Baszler.
So that's the other thing. So if Becky does retain, then you're going to the following month, which is going to be Money in the Bank in May, and you could very easily put Shayna Baszler in that match and have her chase continue to get to Becky Lynch again, maybe win that and get her down the line cash in at a, you know, whenever she can or whenever she wants. That is another strong possibility too. So many possibilities if that doesn't happen. But as far as Shayna Baszler winning, if she were to win, then Becky Lynch, you know, you have her, maybe I think it's all going to depend on what happens as well with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair in that scenario, because maybe she'll go right after Rhea Ripley if she retains, or if Charlotte goes to the NXT champion, becomes the NXT women's champion, goes after Charlotte on that. She's going to want to have a championship around her waist again. Maybe you throw her onto the SmackDown card with the superstar shakeup after that, change her from Raw to SmackDown. So that's another possibility if she is to lose to Shayna Baszler.
I feel like I'm talking in circles, and I don't mean to, but with Becky and Shayna at WrestleMania, like if we just focus on tonight, They did good by Shayna getting her ready for that match with Becky.
It was excellent.
Going forward, I'm not sure that they know what the right result is.
Mm-hmm.
You need Becky to chase, but then again, is there more money in having Becky hold on to it until Ronda comes back, if Ronda comes back? Because Ronda was at WWE headquarters.
Right.
So maybe there's something in the works there. I don't know. I still think the perfect finish for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania is Ronda Rousey helping Shayna Baszler beat Becky Lynch.
Yeah, you predicted that, and that'd be nice.
But I don't know that Vince and WWE thinks that that's the right finish because Becky is an organic creation. Right. And Shayna Baszler was dominant in NXT, but she's not Ronda Rousey. Even though she has done what should have been the Ronda Rousey character on the main roster better in NXT than Ronda Rousey may have done on the main roster.
Right.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
No, it does. I get what you're saying because she actual ingrown talent to her being on the. I know what you're saying. I think that she, what we saw tonight, it is a true storytelling, similar to what they did to Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble, showing how dominant a superstar he is. That's exactly what they told us tonight with Shayna Baszler and how dangerous she is going to be to Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Similar way they did that with Drew, like I said.
Mike, what was your kind of big takeaway from Elimination Chamber tonight?
Obviously, Baszler, that was the whole, that was my big part of it right there. But then, you know, going into this pay-per-view, Jimmy, I thought it was, you know, we just talked about this briefly before we started recording, to not rule it out. And I kind of went in with that mindset, yeah, it's a bridge one to Mania. But what I really did like about this, though, you didn't have all of your champions on there and big guys. Roman Reigns was not on the card. Obviously, Brock Lesnar not there. Charlotte wasn't on. Becky. It gave the other talent the spotlight here that they typically, you know, they have, but they're not appreciated. I really took an appreciation of that SmackDown Tag Team Elimination Chamber match. I really appreciate the talent there for the tag team division now because they gave them a prominent spotlight there to perform on a big stage. Am I going to stop what I'm doing on a Friday night to watch a SmackDown Tag Team match? Not always, but this was a good step in the right direction for fans like that that may not be heavily invested into a tag team divisional match for SmackDown superstars like that. So I like how they did that. I love what they did, too, at the beginning. The Daniel Bryan match was really good. Technical, real good wrestling there. Even the Raw tag team ones.
Well, Mike, let's focus for a minute on the Tag Team Championship Chamber match.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I like this match. I like that they started with the New Day and the Usos. Mm-hmm. I like that they kind of ended and having the New Day and the Usos in the finals, even though Miz and Morrison retained. Just that Uso-New Day rivalry is just so good, and everything that they do is just gold to me. And what this match established beyond Miz and Morrison retaining was Otis is a star.
Yeah, he is.
Otis, Daniel Bryan in the ring made Otis a star a few pay-per-views ago. Mm-hmm. Otis chasing Mandy Rose and putting all the heat on Dolph Ziggler has made him a star. The sympathy that crowd gave Otis when he goes bowling through the pod and out of the chamber and onto the floor, and he sold his ass off. Like,
so over.
What a sell job.
Yep. And he's like, so over with the crowd.
And that is something that in the history of the Elimination Chamber, I've never seen somebody actually get out of it like that.
Right.
And then they went to the finish of, why can't I think of his partner's name? Tucker.
Tucker. Yeah.
And that crowd was into Otis. And, you know, your good friend Elliot from Boston had suggested to me when Heavy Machinery wins the tag team titles, that Otis needs to put Mandy Rose on his shoulder, like Randy Savage put Miss Elizabeth on his shoulder after winning the title at WrestleMania 4.
Good job, Elliot.
Like,
good
that's job. That's the finish right there.
Yep. Now, you could put, you know, Otis could be a singles guy. He could. He doesn't need Tucker. You know,
I think that they complement each other well. And Tucker doing that flippy flip thing off the top of the cell.
That was incredible. That was awesome. Now, they do complement each other, but he could be a singles guy down the line. I mean, if he's so over with the crowd right now, that's big.
This is the thing that I go, he could be. He could be like an Intercontinental Champion or U.S. Champion. Yeah. I don't see Otis as the world champion.
No.
I just don't. But I could see him. I could see him with one of the secondary titles. That's not out of the realm of possibility. But not a long run. But I would like to see something longer than Braun Strowman, which is something that really annoyed me. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Do you have any other thoughts on the tag team cage match?
Just to finish off on it, like, I was really happy to see those guys get a good prominent spotlight there that they typically are underappreciated on a weekly basis for. So good job by WWE giving them an Elimination Chamber match. That was good.
Well, and if you look at just the tag team roster, like, the tag teams are good, despite the fact that Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins were Raw Tag Team Champions, a team that paired up for the first time. And, oh, hey, let's beat the Viking Raider Warrior War Machine because they lost five times, three of which to the OC last year. Yeah. Like, that's dumb. Just have a real team beat them. And I like the Street Profits, and I'm glad they're the tag team champions. But if you're going to have Seth Rollins lead a super group, have AOP win the tag team titles, not Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins. But, Seth Rollins was just as excited to win the tag team titles as he was to beat Brock Lesnar on two major shows in the past year. But that's that's not germane to this. But maybe it is. I don't know. So Braun Strowman.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Losing the Intercontinental Championship. Did he lose it to the right guy in Sami Zayn? Yes, because I love Sami Zayn. I love his promos. I love him jamming out to Shinsuke Nakamura's theme song, entrance theme.
It's a good song. Yep.
But I wouldn't have taken the title off of Braun yet. I would have let Braun run with it for a little bit. Like, this is Big Show wins it at WrestleMania 28. He beats Cody for the Intercontinental Championship just to have his moment, and then he loses it to him on a fluke next year. Not next year, next month at Backlash, whatever that next pay-per-view was.
Right.
So I would have liked to have seen Braun hold it for a little bit longer, because now Braun, and this is a WWE bigger picture problem, they're good guys, they look like doofuses a lot of the time. Braun doesn't care that it's going to be 3-on-1, so he signs the contract anyway. And Sami Zayn just proved him right. Like, he couldn't handle a 3-on-1 handicap match against Cesaro and Nakamura, who he said in a promo during the show, he feared them, but not that clown car Sami Zayn. Just don't make your good guys look like goofballs.
Yep.
Braun should have won this match, and then they can do something at WrestleMania and get the title off him if they want to. But I would have let Braun have a little bit of run with it, not just transitioned him to Sami Zayn.
Well, I mean, you could very easily, you're probably going to have a grudge match between the two at Mania. And I don't like the move either. You make him, it's a triple, three guys against one, sure, but, you know, did not win clean and everything. Braun Strowman, that's his first title. That was his first title in the WWE since he's been a singles guy. So you know, does he need one? Essentially, no, with the size, but it's a, I liked him as the IC champion when he let us hold his belt. Thank you for that. Great picture on there. And also, it just shows how big a character he is and the power, you know, it builds his persona more. It's more important for him to have a title than not. And I think they made a mistake by taking that off him. So, Braun, you know what? I'd love to see him be world champion down the line sometime. But you know what? This was a step in the right direction as the Intercontinental, and they threw something away. They threw something away right here with Braun Strowman. Bad move.
I just would have liked to have seen Braun overcome the odds as a good guy, setting himself up instead. I mean, I like Sami Zayn. Sami will be a great Intercontinental champion because he's about as good a talker, and he's got Cesaro and Nakamura as heaters. And like, Sami Zayn will be great, and it'll be good to see Sami in the ring again. But I would have kept the title on Braun Strowman for a little bit longer, or not made him look as bad as potentially they made him look for accepting a 3-on-1 challenge and then losing.
Right. Yeah. Let him ride it out. You know, if you're going to accept it, you usually let him win it. So that, I didn't like that booking. Bad call.
I like the fact that Aleister Black beat AJ Styles in the way that they did it with the return of The Undertaker, which is obviously a setup for Undertaker AJ Styles at WrestleMania. They did it well. You're going to say that it's going to be Aleister Black and Undertaker against AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson?
And Joe Murray suggested make it a 6-man tag, throw in Kane. So that could be something too.
Well, would you rather see that as a 6-man, or would you rather see AJ versus Taker 1-on-1?
I'd love to see AJ Taker. However, I don't have a problem with the 6-man or the 2-on-3. I have no issue with that because a lot of people got to do the work for the Undertaker, and if that's the case, I'm no objection on that. So.
Yeah, I think if anybody can carry Undertaker to a good 10-12-minute match, it's AJ Styles. But I understand I understand you get Aleister Black in there with two legends. It makes him look good. It gives him a featured position where he may have, instead of him beating Brock Lesnar or winning the Rumble or something like that, you're still keeping Aleister Black strong in a strong program, because what does Aleister Black do if he's not involved in that match? So it makes sense. It protects a lot of people, and you still get a similar result. And maybe they just have all three of them just blow doors.
Yeah, exactly. And you just kind of knew that was coming when AJ Styles had Aleister Black set up for the tombstone. He did the Undertaker thing right there. I was like, okay, lights are going to go out any minute. Get ready. Here we go. So that was really cool. The great pop though for the Taker. Still got the pop.
Oh, of course. The only reason to boo Undertaker is if he's having a stinker of a match.
Right. And typically,
and that's not his fault.
Exactly. It's the other person.
It's the person who's like, oh, hey, we don't want you doing Conrad Thompson's StarCast convention, so we're going to give you a new 5-year contract, and we're going to make you wrestle. Like, who says no to that? Like, of course, Taker's going to. Like, people don't understand. The only reason why Edge is wrestling right now is because AEW made a run at him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to clear him, and the same with Daniel Bryan. Like, if Daniel Bryan's contract isn't set to expire and he might go to AEW, he's not medically cleared in wrestling right now. Are you kidding me?
His career is over.
He's medically disqualified, and Paige is probably setting up to do something similar.
Right, right. She'll be back soon.
Because and Vince doesn't want to lose anybody. I mean, we'll talk about Matt Hardy. I don't think Vince wanted to lose Matt Hardy because Matt Hardy's a threat. All these people are threats. And I think the Monday Night War, I'm rambly tonight. I'm sorry. I'm just diving all off topic. A little scatterbrained. Fun. So I'm not sorry, but this is the show today. I'm just scatterbrained.
Let's rock it. We're doing good.
But Matt Hardy can do some damage. And Vince, I think, learned from the Monday Night Wars, like, don't open any doors to anybody.
Right.
Like, Jericho got away. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley got away. Matt Hardy's now getting away. Luke Harper's going to debut soon. Lance Archer wasn't his. But those are just kind of examples of people who, you know, Daniel Bryan would have done serious damage if he got out there.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Right? So
yeah, it would have been a big, big draw for the competition, and Vince cannot afford to lose him. No way. No, no, no.
I mean, he can, but he's losing audience.
Well,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, he can afford to lose him, but it would be a major hit to his ego. He does not want that.
You know, and
again,
and part of the reason why he brought back the XFL is because Tony Khan's a part NFL owner.
Right.
That's ego.
Right.
That's all ego.
Of course.
GG Powell, I can do it myself. Daniel Bryan, by the way, they had a very... Daniel Bryan beats Drew Gulak. Goulash.
Gulak, I think, yeah.
Fabulous performer, right? Mm-hmm. When he was doing the catch point stuff in Evolve, like good stuff. They did kind of like a 50-50 early on, which kind of caught Bryan off guard, but very different style matchup, and I liked it. And I liked that they put it in the opening spot of the card. I was kind of surprised that they did a ref stoppage for this thing. But I think Daniel Bryan, if he's not going to be in a main event position, is looking at the roster and like, I can work with him in the same way that when Bryan was champion, he did what he could to get Mustafa Ali into a prominent spot. And, you know, Mustafa Ali, who had his hands on the Money in the Bank briefcase in Hartford last year until Brock Lesnar came and threw him off. So Daniel Bryan has an eye for wrestling talent. Now, whether he gets these undercard guys over or not, time will tell. But if he's not going to be in the main event fighting for a title, you know, Drew Gulak, Goulash, that's not the worst place to be. And I'm sorry I butchered his name, but deal with it.
Yeah. Well, Gabe Sapolsky put a very nice tweet out, excuse me, at the beginning of the pay-per-view with a true dream match for me. He knows the history of Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak, obviously working with Daniel Bryan. So that was a pretty cool thing for him. And I think that, again, to what I was saying with this whole pay-per-view here, giving some of the undercard and guys that you would not ordinarily see on a big stage, this was a great opportunity for Drew Gulak right there. Hometown Philadelphia going up against Daniel Bryan. Technical match. Really made me appreciate the stuff inside the ring. Scary moments, too. I mean, I know the way the camera had it on Daniel Bryan there. With the neck, the way he took the fall there from the back, cringeworthy for a couple of minutes. Like, oh my God. And again, and the commentators touching on it too. Great storytelling. Finished with the submission. Yes, lock. Daniel Bryan, again, just really, anytime you watch a match for him, anyone listening to the show, just appreciate what he does in the ring. Coming back like that, the guy is awesome. He's really that good.
He's a generational performer.
Yeah.
He's fabulous. He gets you emotionally attached in a different way than a Hulk Hogan would have or a Randy Savage would. You feel him. I would call Daniel Bryan kind of in a similar category of a Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Like they got your emotion a very different way.
Absolutely.
Just he's a fantastic performer. He'll go down as one of the all-time greats. Just one other kind of thing from my notes. The Street Profits retain the Raw Tag Team Championship. Street Profits are stars, man. They just they have that it factor. They can perform well. And the Rollins, the Kevin Owens popcorn moment was awesome.
Yes.
Eat popcorn, stun, eat popcorn again.
He just owns Seth Rollins.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he is in Seth Rollins' head. And I like that feud right there. That's really good. Street Profits, too. I was thinking about this, and they're coming out. They got a little Men on a Mission to them, don't they? Little Oscar
bit.
And Mo. Yeah. It's kind of a little 90s persona right there. But, the Kevin Owens, and he came out there. That was awesome. So good storytelling here on this one. A lot of factions right now in wrestling. A lot of factions happening. And we're in the middle of one right there with Seth Rollins, who we saw his pause there, the Monday Night Messiah. But that was a good show right there, Street Profits. I'm happy that they are the champions after this one, too.
So, good show. Good WWE pay-per-view. They teased Edge is going to be on Raw, so that'll be good.
Yep.
And 14 matches for WrestleMania-ish. Mm-hmm. And before we kind of move forward, this popped in my head because I was futzing around on social media.
Yeah.
Mike, what would you do with the SmackDown Women's Championship for WrestleMania?
Oof. Yeah, I know. We really.
I hope this wasn't a lightning round question, because if I jumped on it, I apologize.
No. I'm glad you brought it up, because this really seems to be no plan for it right now. Bayley is your current champion. If you can find a way to, have Sasha turn on her now, I mean, I think that would get a lot of attention, but you got 3 weeks on that. However, though, I'd rather see that built up a little longer.
SummerSlam, that's when they should do Bayley and Sasha, is SummerSlam.
Fine by me. I'm cool with that. Give Lacey Evans a shot. Give her a shot. Might as well do it. I mean, Bayley is a heel. Lacey Evans is a face, even though you wouldn't think that after listening to her interview with Tutcher and Rich last week. She is supposedly a face, so she should be having a shot at the title. I'd give her an opportunity in SmackDown. How about you? For the title at WrestleMania.
I would make the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
No issue with that either. No issue with that.
And it's open to everybody. So if a Raw superstar wins, they are now on SmackDown. If an NXT superstar wins, they are now on SmackDown. I would have Bayley retain, because I'm looking at Bayley versus Sasha for SummerSlam in Boston. And I just like the idea of having a longer-term champion. I just think it means more when the champion eventually loses.
Well, and that would just, I think we suggested that last year too for WrestleMania, the Women's Battle Royal, put the title on the line. It just saves time too for another match right there. Saves time. You get everyone in the roster and give them an opportunity. So it's perfect. Good booking.
I don't remember what I had for dinner this morning, so I won't remember what I said last year. So.
It was discussed. It was brought up.
Okay, I could go through my notes, but I'll take your word for it, because I won't remember.
I have the brain of an elephant.
Excellent. Yes. So here's your chance to win tickets for the Jim Ross show at the Wilbur April 16th. Really simple trivia question, and what you're going to want to do is email your answer to wrestlecast985@gmail.com. wrestlecast985@gmail.com, and if you have the correct answer, you'll be entered to win two tickets for his live show at the Wilbur. Here's the question. It's very simple, because we want you to win. We want to give you something. We want you to win something for free. All right. Which WrestleMania did Jim Ross make his WWF WWE debut at? Email your answer, wrestlecast985@gmail.com, and that will enter you to win this week's giveaway for two tickets for the Jim Ross show at the Wilbur on April 16th. Simple question.
Simple.
Simple. So simple. Which WrestleMania did Jim Ross make his WWF WWE debut at?
You want to go a little step further?
No. Because contest rules, so on
all
and
right,
so forth.
Fair.
So let's
right,
just, well, we'll leave it at that, all right? We want people to enter and win. So wrestlecast985@gmail.com. Mike Riley, lightning round, go.
Let's go. AEW this week, this past week, Jake the Snake Roberts. What a promo. What a promo. Teasing that he's going to bring someone from the Dark Order. Just the guy's unbelievable.
No. Right. He didn't say Dark Order.
Excuse me.
He had a client. He had a client. Yeah. Jake Roberts had a client. He showed it's up likely- out of nowhere to cut a promo, and he said he's got a client. He's going after Cody's share of AEW, not after AEW. Cody's share of AEW.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It's likely going to be Luke Harper.
Or Lance Archer.
Yeah. So it's probably going to happen in the next week or so. But Jake Roberts, it made me think about that. Where do you put him, top heels all the time?
Not to steal Bruce Pritchard answer, but top five.
Yeah, he's definitely...
I'd have to think about it because you have to go Hogan 1.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan's NWO run is number one. Savage was an excellent villain. Ric Flair was a great villain.
Yeah, I got Flair 1.
Great villains.
I got Iron Sheik, Rick Rude, Vince McMahon is a good one, too.
Vince McMahon is 2. If Hogan's 1, Vince is 2. If you want to put Vince 1 and Hogan 2, no objections on my end.
Put Triple H in there.
Ugh. There are better villains than Triple H.
But he was 1.
Although, quick story on Triple H. So I was watching WrestleMania 2000 with a group of friends, and the main event was a four-way match. It was Big Show, Rock, Mankind, Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mr. Socko, whatever he was that night, and Triple H for the world title, and Triple H won. And I was so angry, and my friend blared the music of Triple H on our way home, and I think I walked home that night rather than get in the car with him. I was so angry.
Oh, God. See, I was most mad when Triple H beat Foley at that the Hell in the Cell in Hartford, retirement one. That pissed me off like hell. And he beat him at the Royal Rumble the month before. It's like, come on, give Foley a chance.
Amazing that Mick Foley's retirement match was in a dump like Hartford.
I know. What a sham. Matt Hardy, here we go. Yep. So his contract's up with WWE. It looks like that. Well, I don't know.
Matt Hardy is officially a free agent right now.
Thank you very much. So the million-dollar question, AEW, Impact, NWA, go back to WWE. Where do you see him going? Go ahead.
I see him going to AEW, and it's for this simple fact. The Dark Order has teased, and in some tweet, video, something or other, it basically says Matt Hardy, right? There's some code in there that you can decode on your own time that says Matt Hardy. But if you go through the videos, the end of Being Elite, the Young Bucks had a call from a Carolina number. On Matt Hardy's YouTube, it showed the other side of that phone call and the Bucks of Youth showing up at Matt Hardy's house. So do I think he's going to AEW immediately? Maybe not, but I think that's his ultimate destination. I think Matt Hardy might futz around, do a few indie shows, and then end up in AEW when we're kind of least expecting it.
Yeah.
But I think Matt Hardy's target is AEW. He's got good relationships with everybody there. He's talented. He's creative. And I think that's where he ends up with AEW.
Yeah.
Long term.
Well, he's been open, too, about saying that Vince was never in on the broken Matt Hardy. So I think that, you know, if they're going to let him have character control and do his sort of thing, that's the answer for him right
there. Oh, yeah. And I know that as fact. Vince McMahon did not understand what Matt Hardy was doing. And I know as fact that Matt Hardy is very appreciative of Vince McMahon allowing him to get what he got on the air with that character.
Of course. So there you go. So Matt Hardy looks like he'll be going to AEW in the near future. Ronda Rousey spotted at the WWE Development Center and headquarters, I should say, rather, last week, along with Cain Velasquez. We talked about it briefly here before. You're saying maybe have a return next year at WrestleMania 37. But does Ronda Rousey return here, James, say WrestleMania or within the next – why don't we just make it safe within the next 6 months? Go ahead.
I don't think so.
Really?
I kind of get the vibe that she's all set with wrestling right now. Okay. And she might have been at WWE headquarters just to do a promo video for something, or they've got a documentary coming up and they wanted her input on it. They do a lot of production things there. I think she's still trying to have a kid and have a family. And so I don't see Ronda Rousey coming back until it's time for her to do WrestleMania in Los Angeles. And I think The Rock comes back for that show too.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling her out for within 6 months. I like what you said to have her, you know, appear at this year's WrestleMania. I think that'd be awesome for a Becky scenario. But I'm not going to rule her out for 6 months. And that, you know, includes a potential SummerSlam appearance because they'd need something to, you know, do that to build up that show coming after a WrestleMania hangover. So that's why I'm not going to rule it out for Ronda Rousey to return in the near future here as well. So there you have it. And finally, today is International Women's Day. So I want to know if you could have one dream women's championship match, what would it be? Between who? A dream women's championship match.
I would say Charlotte against Sensational Sherri.
Wow. Sensational Sherri.
Yep. Sherri Martel is one of the best female performers in the history of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And her role, she cannot be understated as to how important she was to the AWA and the WWF in various roles throughout her career with both those companies. She was a premier performer at the time. She can do anything you want. She can cut promos. She can work with the girls and the guys. And she was fabulous. And also she was an important part of that Harlem Heat team in WCW eventually too. But I look at her as a legitimate female Hall of Fame top level performer. And Sherri doesn't get talked about as much as I think she should be. But give me Sherri Martel versus Charlotte Flair in their primes. And that's a WrestleMania main event anywhere in the country, brother.
Well, a good podcast Bruce Pritchard did about her a couple of weeks ago, and obviously sad ending to her life. But I stuck with it on the more recent one. And Sherri, that's a really good one there. I know we've seen it before, but I'm going to go Becky and Charlotte. I just think anytime those two go at it, it's just they touch gold. It turns to gold anytime they go at it. Give me that any pay-per-view, any stipulation. It is fantastic. They know each other so well, Charlotte and Becky all the way. I think that's your top two performers in the world right now for women's wrestlers.
Currently, I would agree, Becky and Charlotte. And the best thing that they can do right now is keep them separate.
Yep.
And you know, this is going to lead into your WrestleMania match that you think everybody should watch. But before your match, the best storytelling that was going on in WWE was Becky and Charlotte, leading into your WrestleMania match that everybody needs to watch this week.
Here we go. So that would be back on April the 3rd, 2016, Dallas, at the AT&T Stadium. James, you were there. I was there too. We had a good time. But Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch in a triple threat for the new WWE Women's Championship. This is the last time the Divas title ever appeared, and they had the new Women's Championship. Sasha wearing attire inspired by Eddie Guerrero. Snoop Dogg brought her down to the ring. Charlotte wearing pieces of a robe her dad, Ric Flair, won at WrestleMania 24, his retirement match. Becky, her entrance. She was the first one out there. Had a pretty good pop, but nowhere to being the man 4 years ago. Nowhere to being where she is today. Charlotte, the very visible heel in this match. Becky had Charlotte locked in an arm lock. Sasha broke the submission to keep the match alive. Continuous back and forth. Charlotte had a submission on Becky in the figure four, then to the and then Sasha broke it up again with a frog splash. Just so exciting, back and forth. You saw a tease at one point when Ric Flair did a woo on Sasha outside. Becky dove from the ring onto Flair, took him down. So I kind of had that feel watching in the audience that Flair was going to do something because he went down and he just kind of had that feel he'd retaliate. Charlotte, that moonsault from the top rope onto Sasha and Becky. JBL commentated, maybe this is the greatest women athlete, female athlete in the history of WWE right there. Potential foreshadow right there. And then, of course, the win as Charlotte had Becky in the submission, Sasha Banks trying to get into the ring, and Ric Flair holds her back, dirtiest player in the game. And Charlotte, your first ever WWE Women's Champion. What a match. Maybe one of the most important WrestleMania matches of all time because it solidified the female, it reinvented, rejuvenated the women's division in WWE. And that's where we had a main event last year at WrestleMania. Might have another one at this year for the women's side. It could happen. But for what they've done, that is a very important match to watch at WrestleMania 32. Hard to believe, 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's the match that stands out to me from WrestleMania in Dallas. Sasha Banks got the loudest ovation going into that match, and it helped that Snoop was playing her to the ring, but the vibe at the time was this is Sasha's time. This is her time to win, and Charlotte won, and Charlotte got that bragging right to continue from her Divas Championship into the Women's Championship,
right.
And I think it was the week before where Sasha beat Charlotte on an inside cradle in Boston to get into that match. Because originally, for the longest time, it was going to be Becky and Charlotte, and then they added Sasha to it, which was the right call. And yeah. Charlotte winning was the right call. Mm. But the storytelling of Becky and Charlotte, the two best friends who now have a story against each other because of the women's championship, was the best story going in WWE at the time.
Yep.
And this was at a point in time where the women's division was the best week-to-week, drum is too strong, story going through WWE. And it lasted there for a long time.
Yeah. And you know what? I still think it has a very strong part of the storytelling week to week, the women's side of everything in Raw and SmackDown, NXT. It's huge. So that really put them on the map big time because for a while, the Divas Championship, it was kind of forgotten about. A lot of people, it was a throw-in match a lot of the time. Now, WWE Women's Championship, WWE Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship, it's a very big title. And the NXT Women's title, that's a real big thing right there.
Because
so,
they're wrestling. They're not doing bikini contests and pillow fights and mudslinging and cat shows all. They're not doing that. They're doing competitive athletic wrestling matches, and that's what they should be doing. Ironically enough, or funny, ironic, whatever word you want to use to transition here, you pick a Charlotte match, and I'm picking an Undertaker match.
Look at that.
WrestleMania 28, Triple H versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell in Miami. Shawn Michaels was the guest referee. Mike, you'll appreciate this. This was a WrestleMania I went with two friends. They sat together. I sat on my own. Which was the same case in Dallas and in Orlando.
Yep, and it's SmackDown in Boston.
And it's SmackDown in Boston. So it's not – so, Mike, that's my nice way of saying it's not just you. It's a me thing.
Oh,
it's
I know.
It's usually a me problem. Undertaker wins this match, bringing his WrestleMania record to 20-0. Think of that, 20-0. This, to me, was the first time since the Randy Orton match at WrestleMania 21 in Los Angeles that I thought the streak was in jeopardy. And Triple H and Taker had a real clunker in Atlanta the year before with Triple H submitting to The Undertaker. So I figured Hunter, with help from Shawn, would beat the streak. It wasn't to be. Entrances to exits. This match was about an hour live. Didn't feel like it. The spot that I thought the streak was over, Shawn Michaels was going to stop the match after Triple H had hit Taker with a sledgehammer. Michaels went to check on Taker. Taker put him in the Hell's Gate submission, and it knocked Michaels out for a good little chunk of the match for a few minutes. Taker was going for a tombstone on Triple H. Hunter slid out of it, pushing Taker into a now upright Shawn Michaels super kick, which then Triple H turned into a pedigree, and Taker kicked out at 2 3/4. And the key to why I thought that was the end of the streak there was there was no delay in Hunter covering Undertaker. And a lot of times you'll see finishes protected by a delayed cover. This was all one fluid motion, all on pace. And Undertaker kicks out, and Shawn Michaels' reaction is tremendous because he's like, oh my God, I almost ended the streak as a referee. And he didn't want it to end that way. This match is in the conversation for greatest match I've ever seen live. Wow. It was April 1st, 2012. It was named End of an Era, which we know it wasn't because three of those four worked in the same match on November 2nd of 2018, which at the moment, unfortunately, stands as Shawn Michaels' last match. Mm-hmm. 8 years after Undertaker retired him at WrestleMania in Phoenix. The match I mentioned in Saudi Arabia or Australia or whatever dirty money they took ended with a super kick into a pedigree on Kane for a three count.
Yeah, it's been a lot of those. And
then Shawn Michaels mouthing, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. There's no such thing as a retirement match in wrestling. We know that. Until it's like not allowed to wrestle anymore.
So WrestleMania 28, Triple H losing to Undertaker, Hell in a Cell in Miami, Shawn Michaels the guest referee.
Great match. Great match. Now, you said, you made a comment. You said it was an hour, but didn't feel that way. So you're saying it felt shorter.
Oh, it was just such an emotional roller coaster. Was into the whole thing. All the false finishes. Just the sledgehammer usage.
Yeah. Yep.
Just really, because I thought, and this is when wrestling's at its best, is when you have emotional investment in characters.
Yeah.
And to the point where you think that X is in jeopardy. You can't call the finish of the match.
Right.
And that's when that's... I was talking about, we were talking about Goldberg and Bray Wyatt.
Right.
And I couldn't call that match, right? Yeah. You would think it's as simple as, well, Bray Wyatt's going to retain because Goldberg is a part-timer. But then it's like, well, it's WrestleMania season and Goldberg is a part-timer.
Yeah, you need the big guys there.
And that's John Cena versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. I can't call that right now.
No.
I think Bray Wyatt wins because he's going to be around. But then I look at it and it's like, well, John Cena is the good guy and Bray Wyatt's supposed to be the bad guy.
Right.
So are you beating John Cena at WrestleMania because the good guys win at WrestleMania? Like, I can't call it. Like, we opened with me wishy-washy confused about Becky and Shayna at WrestleMania. Like, my mind tells me that Becky's the good guy in this case, and she should retain against the bad guy in Shayna Baszler.
Right,
but then you look at it from a story point of view, and Shayna Baszler is this badass UFC fighter who dominated NXT. She just dominated two of the three matches that she's had on the Raw side of things.
Oh, yeah.
So she should win for longer-term storytelling and Becky to chase somebody. But I don't know, so I can't call it. And it sucks because I want to have opinions and I don't want to be wishy-washy.
Yeah, we'll have an opinion on the official prediction show the week before, I'd imagine. We'll have that all locked in, ready to go. But just back to WrestleMania 28, though, I really thought that was it for Undertaker because the year before, that did not feel like a win against Triple H. It just did not.
No, and that's by design. That's Triple H being a weasel. Like,
exactly.
In the same way that Triple H beats Undertaker in their final contest ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which probably most people forgot about. But that match was the drizzling bleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. It just felt like that. Wow.
It's Triple H being like, oh, I'm in this great condition. Let me go 30 minutes with Undertaker and I'll blow him right up and I'll win. And in the same way, Triple H had to beat John Cena on one of those shows.
Right.
Like, we get it, Hunter. You own the company. You have to just...
Sting.
Yeah. Well, so Sting was... Yeah, same thing. Like, Sting was, I'm the WWF guy, so I have to beat the WCW guy.
Yeah, at WrestleMania.
Yeah, at WrestleMania. So, like,
Right. Yeah.
Get that.
But
dude.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, great, great choice there on the Hell in the Cell. That's one of the really good ones. Put it on your list. There you go. And 32 this week. Check it out.
Absolutely. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. You can email the show, WrestleCast985@gmail.com. And if you answer our trivia question, you can win something for free. So go do that.
Go for the tickets.
Go for the tickets. Next week, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we can do. We can tease AEW made an announcement about a Blood and Guts match. And they're going to announce the rules to it this week. So next week, we'll talk about it.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.